We've got to get right into our Middle East news update. So much to cover with David Dolan. He's been in the Middle East for over 25 years, written books about what's out there going on. Fictional books, but really with a truth behind each and every one of them. He's a journalist, longtime journalist, and a good friend of us right here on Prophecy Today. David, what about the report coming out that Iran can have a nuclear weapon by October the 1st? That is a pretty awesome announcement.
Well, it's very, very frightening, but it's been it goes along the lines of what various Israeli both governmental leaders, security officials, and just analysts have been saying for some time, that it would be a very quick process to enrich the uranium that's already enriched to 20% up to the level necessary to produce a nuclear weapon. So the experts have been saying it's a two-month process. So whenever they take the decision to do that, they could have weapons-grade material real quickly. And, of course, they may have already done that. That's the point, is we don't know everything that's going on by any means. The U.N. inspectors have only seen what the Iranians have wanted them to see, basically. And the U.N. itself has said, we believe things have been hidden from us, and work's going on. So, again, the Israelis are saying this is the moment of decision, and the key question there is convincing the United States that action has to be taken soon. And, of course, the president doesn't want that in an election year, but the Iranians are not concerned with the U.S. elections, and the Israelis simply cannot, let this slide.
You know, David, in the past, and you and I talked about this, when the Israeli leaders are talking about it, it's still down the line. It's when they quit talking about it, go silent, that it's almost there. But they're talking about it now, howbeit at the same time, Ehud Barak, who's the Minister of Defense, said, we must go soon if that weapon's going to be ready by October the 1st. Looks like September would be the prime date, or maybe even the end of August.
Well, it's again, it's something that they're talking about it because they're trying to get the world to take action, and particularly the United States. And again, it's a presidential election year. It's certainly not something that anybody wants. And Americans are war weary after Iraq and Afghanistan, and Afghanistan, of course, still ongoing. A loss of more troops just this week. Nevertheless, you can't pick your enemies, and you can't pick what your enemies, you can't decide what your enemies do. And Iran is as much an enemy of the United States as it is of Israel, and it's an enemy of Saudi Arabia and of other regional countries that feel threatened by it. So action needs to be taken, and the Israelis are speaking mainly, I believe, and many experts believe, to prod the U.S. government to take the lead in this, because they don't want to do it alone. They don't have nearly the capacity to complete it that the United States does and its allies. So they're hoping that, the decisions will be taken. But the timing is difficult, for sure.
Well, and the recently resigned leader, our minister, actually, of the home front there in Israel, something similar to our Homeland Security office here in America. I believe his name is Valnia. I may have pronounced it incorrectly. You can correct me. But he said that Israel is ready. The home front is ready for a war. The possibility that if it went a month, they could sustain it for a month, and possibly only about 500 would be killed. Now, the Reuters news agency took those thoughts out of context. He didn't say they're going to fight for a month and that 500 would be killed. He said that's his worst-case estimates. But is indeed the home front ready, you think?
By the way, it's Vilnai. It's a kind of a strange way to pronounce. It's a strange name. But he is a security expert. He's been working on this for years, preparing the country both in that position as a homeland minister, but also before that in the military. He was a chief of staff and other things, and he knows what he's speaking about. These are just guesses, Jimmy, and nobody really knows. I can tell you that there are many experts that believe that the casualties could be 20, 30 times that. Why? Because chemical weapons might be used, and or a nuclear device might be used against Israel. The fear, and I've been speaking about it for some years now, the fear is that Hezbollah in Lebanon may have acquired some nuclear capability, or should I say that the Iranian Revolutionary Guards that are with the Hezbollah, stationed with the Hezbollah forces, have them, have some small nuclear devices that could be fired on low-range, short-range rockets that could hit Haifa or Tel Aviv. And just one small, even crude nuclear device could potentially, of course, in those cities, wipe out a million or two people. So we really just don't know for sure, but That's the working assumption, is that there would be some hundreds of casualties, that there would be thousands of missiles directed at Israel by Iran and by Hezbollah. Syria, there's still the possibility, even with the Assad regime, the former foreign minister, the former prime minister there who defected, saying that only 30% of the country is now under Assad's control. Well, still, they may decide to join in just as a hope that they can unite their people behind them. So no one really knows for sure, but that is what that is the assumption. It would last about a month, probably, and there would be certainly many Israeli casualties, and, of course, the wounded, it wasn't even mentioned, there would be thousands.
Yes, and Vilna'i, thank you for giving me that pronunciation. He is being replaced by the former head of Mossad, so he's going to be really up to date on the latest information from the intelligence community and play a key role in that decision-making process, along with Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Defense Minister Ehud Barak. And by the way, reporting what you just said about Hezbollah, Nasrallah, Sheikh Nasrallah said this week that they have a capability of hitting all targets in Israel, and they can take out many. So they are there, and that has to be a factor in the thinking of the decision-making process. Meanwhile, David, the Iranian leaders are saying, hey, we're not scared. And one general said, we dare you, you Israeli Defense Force soldiers, to attack us. Boy, that's bravado for sure.
Well, and again, Jimmy, it goes along with this Shiite theology that the leadership there shares, that the hidden 12th Imam will only appear and lead the world to Islam in the midst of a general mass upheaval in the Middle East, a crisis. So they do seem to be provoking this. I mean, again, is Israel the aggressor here? It's the Iranian leader. Again, yesterday, Ayatollah Khamenei said that Israel will be destroyed. We had a comment on Wednesday from another official that Israel's a cancerous tumor and must go, and all these sorts of threats of annihilation that they're making while working on nuclear bombs. So obviously Israel is left with no choice in this matter. What can you do? Again, this is Iran saying Israel must be destroyed.
Yes, indeed. Well, we've talked about from the east, the Iranian threat, nuclear threat. From the north, the chemical weapons of mass destruction threat from Syria under Bashar Assad. And meanwhile, we've got the military of Egypt moving into the Sinai, almost to the border of Israel. The new president there, Morsi, kind of playing his hand and putting Israel in somewhat of a jeopardy.
Well, Jimmy, some Israeli analysts suspect, not believe, but they suspect that actually the attack a couple weeks ago that started this process going, the attack on the Israeli border, first an Egyptian border guard post was attacked, and I think 12 Egyptian soldiers killed, and then they went on to try to cross over into Israel, and there was a firefight, they were killed. But some think this was staged. In other words, that Morsi knew it was going to happen and that he actually authorized Hamas to carry this out and through other agents, and that would give then him an excuse to start moving forces into Sinai in a significant way under the pretense of just, securing the area against future attacks. Well, if that was the case, Ehud Barak went along with it because they are allowing the Israeli government these forces to come in to a certain extent, but they have made clear that the numbers need to be low, et cetera. But it is a remilitarization of the area, and another worrisome factor in this whole picture that's not a very pleasant picture at present in Israel and the surrounding areas.
David Dolan, he covers the Middle East for us. He's done it for many, many years for many media operations. We're so grateful that he makes himself available to us to give us an analysis of what really is going on behind the headlines in the Middle East. David, thank you so very much, my good friend.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.